Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Got Tyreek Hill challenging Noah Lyles to a race. We've got preseason NFL. We've got a lot to do today. It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome to the show. But all of that takes a backseat for just a moment, because we're bringing back something that was a little bit on ice, Perloff, over the last week because you were on vacation. Little Maggie and Perloff, old school versus new school.
It's Maggie and Perloff's old school, new school.
All right. Today's old school, new school. Not traditional.
Okay.
Today we take a listen to some of the great sports announcers of our time. We're kind of keeping it to football because, you know, it's football season, basically. Old school football announcers versus new school football announcers. Now, what are we talking about? In order to be old school, you can no longer be broadcasting, okay? So these are guys from years
80s,
ago.
90s, or even before.
If you're still currently broadcasting, you're still in the new school. So let's hear a bit of the old school.
This stadium will be rocking tonight. Hello again, everyone. I'm Frank Gifford. We are happy you are with us.
They combine the running of Tony Dorsett right there with, of course, the utterly brilliant passing of Roger Staubach.
Wow. I mean, by the way, can we just end the segment right now?
That's going to be hard to top.
Is there anybody who's going to pick anything? Is it possible to get better than what you just played?
That was Frank Gifford, Howard Cosell, and Pat Summerall, and John Madden. We're doing old school, new school broadcasters. Well, let's take a listen to the new school. New school means anyone who's broadcasting now.
Here's Kyler Murray. Floats it up. Caught! Touchdown, Travis Kelce! Kelce finds a blank space for the score.
And steps into it. Pass is caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable!
All right. You thought it couldn't be topped. We just gave you a lot of ammo there. New school, we gave you the Gus Johnson, the Iron Eagle with the Taylor Swift drop, and Joe Buck. And I know Joe Buck is controversial, but Joe Buck is a phenomenal broadcaster. So the old school versus new school announcers, Pearl, where do you come down?
Where do you think?
I'm just asking the question.
Oh, old school because they were more characters. Now I think guys are a little more buttoned up. Yes, I don't think you can be a character. You know, Joe Buck, very professional. I love listening to Joe and Troy. They're awesome. But it's not like... it's not something in addition to the game. Like, you had to listen to John Madden because you had no idea what he was going to say.
Right.
And Howard Cosell and all these guys. And if you want to do college, obviously, Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
We didn't really get into college yet. But I just think they were more characters. They were probably drinking on the set. There was just a lot more going
on. That's a positive.
Real quick, one of my mentors in this business, a really good friend, Woody Fryman, who's now kind of runs the Yes Network, he came up working for Howard Cosell's crew on Monday Night Football.
Really?
He said when they got to a town, they were the biggest celebrities in town, bigger than the athletes. There was a gigantic party. When Monday Night Football hit in the late 70s, late 80s, it was like nothing, because there were only three channels.
Right.
So it was like nothing we have now. He said that they were so big that those guys, Frank Gifford and Howard Cosell, would walk along the streets and be 10 times more famous than any of the athletes. Because NFL
wasn't... Frank Gifford was an athlete.
Right, so
he has that.
But any of the current players. Because the NFL also wasn't quite as big back then. It was more of a baseball country. And he said that Cosell and those guys were just like, there was something so special about that broadcast that added so much. Now I think we tune in because we want to see the game. Back then, I think you might tune in more for just the announcer.
See, I know that people say no one tunes in for the announcers. I think no one tunes out for the announcers, right? Like, if you have someone who you don't love calling a game, I don't think you turn the channel.
No.
But I definitely tune in. If Gus Johnson's calling a game and it's a crappy game, I'm hanging around. We talk about this locally. We're doing football, but for baseball, I love the Mets announcing team so much. I stick around during blowouts when they start reading the media guide. It's fun. It's exciting. So I still think that today's announcers do have that element of, if you really love their style, you know you're getting a good call regardless of what the score or the situation of the game is. You can appreciate it. Maybe that's because we're kind of nerds about this stuff. What I like about new school broadcasters is, there was humor back then. I think you are allowed to have a lot of humor now. I think Ian Eagle definitely puts humor into his broadcasts. I think that it's an underrated part of his repertoire. And I think guys are so informed now that it does create somewhat, I don't want to say a better broadcast, 'cause I'm not denigrating the guys from beyond, from past. You just have more information. There's more out there in terms of what we know about athletes, stats, how you incorporate those. Like, you know, let's take a color announcer. Like, Chris Collinsworth is like a soup. Not that John Madden wasn't smart. Obviously, he's a genius. Collinsworth, I feel like, gives you a little something because he's also giving you the analytic part and the former player aspect.
My counter to that is, and then boom.
That's your duckin, right?
Yeah,
in my
yeah.
case. I got
you
it.
See, you take a turkey and then you stick it inside a duck.
And a chicken. So here's, you said you thought the broadcasters back then were maybe more famous in some ways.
I had more character, too, as broadcasters. Like, they just brought something different than just facts.
I get it. But can I counter with that in a way that I don't think you're expecting me and what you're expecting I'm going to say? I think Aaron Andrews is more famous than most of the players outside of a handful on the field.
Mm.
I bet she's famous, more famous than the whole second string of the Chargers. But
second string of the Chargers?
Yeah, more people are going to know who Aaron Andrews is, and let alone the Troy Aikmans and stuff like that, who obviously play the game. But I bet more people know Aaron as football fans. Like, I think she's as famous as any broadcaster, and I think she's more famous than most of the guys on the field. I'm being serious here.
Well, maybe, yeah. But I just think that Howard Cosell was more famous than Burt Jones back in 1978 or something. I just think it's a little different. Yeah, of course, Aaron's been super famous, doing this a long time. I don't know, though. I'm just not sure it's the same thing.
I think they're just as famous now is what I'm saying.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's another Madden or a Cosell. I think the only competitors would be Stephen A.
Who doesn't do games.
Yeah, if we're just talking games, maybe some of the former players. Obviously, Tom Brady, if he does these games. But as a broadcaster, I would disagree with that. And as much as Aaron Andrews has done, she's also a team player. Like, she doesn't pull herself out of the broadcast to do a bit like John Madden would do.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Aaron Andrews, her main job there is to inform and report. She's not like, I'm going to be Aaron Andrews and I'm going to do something that you're going to remember me that is aside from the game. Madden and Cosell would do that, for better or worse.
You might
argue there was too much of that.
A little too
You know
much.
Who's a lot like them? John Gruden was a little bit like them, where he would make it a show that had very little to do with what was going on the field.
Right. It was more like the Gruden show, right?
Yeah. Which was a turnoff for some people.
Okay, we're talking about old school versus new school football broadcasters. You're right, we're pretty much keeping this to the NFL. But what did you prefer, the style? And again, we're describing old school as guys who are no longer broadcasting. So if you're out of the game now, as opposed to still currently on your game, 855-212-4227. Charlie is our pal in Vancouver, Washington. Charlie, old school broadcasters or new school?
First, let's go back a couple months. Perloff, feed your daughter some protein. She's 14. She's growing up. She's got to have protein, even though she doesn't have muscle. That's how she builds muscle. All right. Hey, love me some Kevin Harlan from now. He's the only guy that compares to old school, in my opinion.
Love Harlan.
Old school. What about Dandy Don Meredith? I know you guys probably a little too far, but, man, when him and Howard and Frank were in the booth, they were all so different. It was so awesome. When the game was put out of reach, Dandy Don would be drunker than hell with his southern accent singing, turn out the lights, the party's over, and Howard would just be so pissed. It was the best show in the world.
Charlie, we're overdue a really good Monday Night Football documentary. I know there probably have been one, but that, who would not watch that? Because you're right, from everything I know, obviously Don Meredith singing was a big thing, but it just seemed like everything about it was cool.
Yeah, Alex Karras after that, too. I mean, you had some controversial dudes in there. It was pretty cool. It was awesome. And you're right, buddy. It was the best in the world because in the days of only three channels, people couldn't watch 100 things. So everybody watched the same thing and everybody could talk about it.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
Charlie, thank you. An all-encompassing phone call from our man in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah.
Talking about how your daughter only eats carbs and also
the
teenager.
One pasta. You know, she will only eat plain pasta, no butter, maybe a little salt if she's feeling dangerous.
It's kids, man. They just have their own hangups. And then old school versus new school broadcasters. And yeah, Dandy Don Meredith, you're so right. Where is the 30 for 30 on the Monday Night booth?
I think there has been some sort of documentary. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of coverage of Howard Cosell. He's quite famous.
Well, ESPN might not want to do it because it might look, some of it, put ESPN in a tough spot, right? I mean, things ended with, Dennis Leary, not Dennis Leary,
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
No, but I think you do 1971 was when it started to 1985.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like the
But don't
prime.
You want the Kornheiser? How did we come up with the Booger Mobile? Like, whose idea was that?
No. Like, this is like high-end famous Monday Night Football, not when it became like the third best game of the primetime schedule.
Let's go to Dana's in California. Old school versus new school NFL broadcasters. Dana, what's your side?
Hi, good morning, you guys. Old school, I can never, ever get past how much I loved Joe Starkey. From the first time I heard him call the play with Cal Stanford, that just frantic screaming and shouting. I mean, he was amazing. And even as Stanford alumni, I would listen to Cal games just to hear Joe Starkey.
Wow.
I thought he was just amazing and just right up there with my man Satoru Oh in the all-time greatest. he was just fantastic. And I love your show. It helps me wake up when I'm driving to work every morning. And Maggie, I think you're just the cat's pajamas. So thanks for all you do.
Oh, Dana, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, what the hell, Dana?
And Perloff would love a compliment as well.
Yeah.
He said he loves the show.
Oh, great. And Maggie, you're the cat's pajamas? Is that what he said?
Yeah, cat's pajamas, cat's meow. I accept all.
Okay, by the way, we have not had a good Monday Night Football documentary, but we did have a live-action movie where people played the actual people. John Turturro, the character actor, played Howard Cosell.
I could see it.
Then Nick Turturro. Aren't you friends with Nick Turturro?
Yeah.
He played Chet Forte, the famous producer or director. Patti LuPone played Emmy Cosell. Yeah, so Eli Wallach was Leonard Goldenson. I don't know who that was, some producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is we got to watch that. Let's put that on our list of assignments. Okay. John Turturro is Howard Cosell. If I show you the picture, you're going to laugh. I'm telling you, that booth, I've heard stories. Okay. That was old school, dominates this category.
Okay, but there's still like fun, gossipy tension in the new school. New school's got everything old school
had. It's too commercial. There's too much money at stake now. They can't screw around like they used to.
You're telling me that you think that this sounds buttoned up to you?
Two carries for 19 yards for Wilson. He'll roll out. Looking. Touchdown, Seattle. Feed the beast, DK Metcalf.
I mean, Gus.
That's one of Gus's most buttoned up calls.
Actually,
just incoherent screaming.
That's right, like what I love.
Gus writes all that in advance. I've watched a million Gus Johnson. It's not like it used to be. I mean, those guys were barely watching a game back. Like you said, you like the Mets broadcasting team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why you liked it? Because it's old school. Because they don't pay attention to the game and they just have fun. That's old school by definition. That's what I grew up with baseball too. It's awesome. Now these guys are just, they're way too into the game.
Man, if we expanded this out beyond NFL, like if we were doing, we could do baseball, we could do college football, basketball, There's so much good stuff on this. Did you know the show John Oliver? You know, have you guys familiar with him? The comic
HBO, yeah.
Who does HBO. He now takes random John Kruk calls yeah. and puts them together as a segment, and they are so bizarre. I mean, we could really have fun with this. Maybe we keep it going through the season.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, I mean, but again, you don't get more old school than John Kruk. That's the thing. When an announcer is fun, and Gus is kind of old school, too. Like, I know he's not really new school. First of all, Gus has been around a while. Like,
that's true.
The new school guys are like, Noah Eagle.
Yeah.
Totally button up. Professor knows everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys are just outstanding professionals. Who needs that?
Yeah, Pat.
I was going to say, I disagree in the sense of buttoned up. I think like buttoned up in terms of like the preparation and being able to put in stories and stats and stuff. But like the calls, like the emphatic calls nowadays are anything but buttoned up.
I think so, too. You have Ian Eagle throwing a Taylor Swift reference because he was dating Kelsey. This is before that even got confirmed. Like it was there. I think they have some fun.
And like you and like a good, you know, like a slam dunk or when Curry hit that last three and Noah just going, oh, like. Back then, it would just be in five over the middle, touchdown, Packers.
I was going to say, Brett Favre didn't play that long ago. I know you were a child, Pat, but.
Why yeah. Tittle over the middle finds the receiver for 20.
It's funny, too, to watch them evolve. Like, if you hear Joe Buck from 20 years ago, it's nothing. He barely is making the call. It's almost like he feels, and he's talked about this, like he's embarrassed to even be there
yeah.
or didn't feel like he deserved it or whatever. And now he's way more emphatic. It's much better for the broadcast.
I don't know. Let the play speak for itself. That's what the great broadcasters did. And there's nothing better than just hearing the crowd roar. That being said, you're telling me that like John Madden calling Brett Favre is not more interesting than
amazing.
These guys were wild back in the day. Cosell. You never knew what that guy was going to say. Now, like, it's much more predictable. Even, like, the greats of today, like, you kind of know what's coming.
You know, RG3 has a chance to be one of those unpredictable guys because, man, that dude is wild on a broadcast. It is nuts when he's out there.
Really?
Who gave that guy a mic? He's amazing. I love it. Keep it coming.
I don't think he's that wild. I actually agree with almost everything RG3 says during the game. He was big on Jaden Daniels when I was. Yeah, he's... I don't know. I mean, he's just so much trouble for that stupid croissant tweet that nobody could get
oh
over.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Nobody could get over the dumb croissant tweet.
How do you even describe that? Is that a thing? People taking pictures like that?
No. I mean, can you explain what it is? Because I don't want to.
Okay. Basically, RG3, and that's his wife, right?
Yes.
Okay. They found... the most gigantic croissant that exists in all of Europe. This thing was like a bomb. I don't know. It was novelty, clearly. It must have been 3 feet long, right? At least two feet long croissant, huge. And he's taking one bite out of it, and his wife is taking another bite out of it. And at each end. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
you
that's
know, a
enough.
Little more context. RG3.
Nope.
The mouth is wide open.
No. This is theater of the mind. I think everybody got it from my description. You can look it up. EJ, yes?
The thing that I've seen now is people being photoshopped from that picture. So now all people are liable to be used in that stupid picture.
I hate like the world we live in sometimes.
Jalen Brunson was like, please do not put my face and Josh Hart's face on that picture. Guess what happened 2 seconds later? Bam! The Bing Bong Knicks have two guys on that one end of a croissant. It's terrible. Thank you, RG3, for nothing. Now we're all liable to be in this stupid-ass picture.
Don't even put it in the
Great,
universe.
Great, thanks, EJ.
Yeah. Who do you think it's going to be? Not you and Pete.
It better not be.
Thank you.
I only have one knee, but I will use the other knee to find who puts me in that picture.
855-212-4227. Yes,
my first thought was not that this is obscene, this photo, which it is, but that's a lot of carbs in that croissant.
You're worried that wouldn't be able to work
it
off?
Like, it's one thing to have an embarrassing photo. It's another, like, I mean, you're going to have to go jogging for 45 minutes afterwards to work off that croissant.
Something tells me RG3 is in good enough shape. He can handle it. Listen, he's in Europe. Live a little. Let your hair down. But that one was a mistake. And it's one thing to take a picture. It's another to post it.
Well, I think he knew what he was doing.
He's trying to be funny. And it was.
Are we laughing with him, though?
He's secure enough.
That's true. 855-212-4227. Okay, and that is Old School, New School. This is actually where the segment started. Old School, New School, NFL broadcasters.
But I hate to make this a Larry Allen highlight film. I'm not kidding you. I mean, watch, he's going to pull and make contact right here. Watch, here's where he's going to end up. Now watch that. Boom! Look at that. I mean, he knocked him right out of the picture. You kidding me?
You know what's great about John Madden? He was, he had the chops as a football analyst, too. He wasn't like just some guy who was making it all up. And he sort of invented, for all intents and purposes, the telestrator, where he would start drawing weird things with his yellow marker. Have you ever worked with a telestrator before? I was a producer when Kirk Herbstreit was learning how to use a telestrator. I did a year of college football, which changed my life. And Herbie was like, I don't really want to use this thing. Because I remember Matt would just start drawing, and all of a sudden he'd be like, well, this kind of looks like a face. And then he'd get off the screen.
Yeah, right.
I mean, anytime an announcer does something fun and charismatic, you're like, that's old school. So this is definitely our debate, old school, new school, Maggie and Perloff styles, old school broadcasters versus new school broadcasters. This is such a slam dunk for the old school. It's not even close.
Yeah, see, I think the new school guys are having a lot of fun. They're definitely a little more button up because that's like our society now. I think you have to mind your P's and Q's a little bit more. Total, and especially behind the scenes, stuff like that. But I think these calls live up to the moment. Pete, can I have cut 13, please? You're telling me you weren't excited when you heard this?
Purdy with a lot of time. Steps into one. Launching deep, going for Brandon Ayuk. It is. Oh, he caught it off the ricochet. What a play from Ayuk. We'll see if it stands.
Nah.
It's...
Well, that's okay, but one thing, anybody can call like a great touchdown in a playoff game. It was the mundane plays that were so exciting with all these other... The old school guys can make something out of nothing. Anybody can call that Brandon Ayuk touchdown.
Okay, I've got the perfect one for you. We're going to get to Bogus's update, and then I will give you the one play from a broadcaster, a new school current broadcaster, that will slam dunk win this argument for me. But Bogus has his headlines first. I promise this will win the new school argument.
It won't.
Bogus, what do you have?
Guys, we are still not done with Tyreek Hill. He is faster than Noah Lyles, and he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm him.
In case you want further explanation.
He's great, obviously, for his team. You feel me? Like, they won two back-to-back Super Bowls, yada, yada. They did their thing, right? Now, you look at me. Two back-to-back, 1,700, Pro Bowl, all pro, this, that, all decade, this, consistency, all that, man.
All that from Up and Adams with Kay Adams on FanDuel TV.
I mean, this is on brand for Hill. This was the players, you know, who were deciding that Patrick Mahomes was the fourth best player in the NFL, and this is why the players can't have nice things, like voting for the Hall of Fame and like voting for MVPs and stuff, because they can't be trusted.
I mean, Mahomes wasn't great last year during the regular season.
I mean, what are we doing?
He had a 92.9. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it, though.
No.
That was a weird one, but again, Mahomes was an MVP last year. Let's be honest about that. Anyway, regardless, yes, of course.
Is Super Bowl MVP not good enough for you?
Everyone knows players shouldn't be voting on things because it's totally random.
Well, wait a minute. Then there's some writers out there
who also
biased. Have a vote.
Sure.
That should not have a vote for anything. I mean, the way they conduct themselves. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but do you think that Tyreek Hill, if we had an open draft, do you think that Tyreek Hill would be the first player off the board?
Absolutely not.
He's not. It would be Mahomes. And maybe Lamar Jackson, who was number two on the list and above Patrick Mahomes. But even that, I thought, was controversial.
Well, some might consider Hill because you could pair him with a quarterback that you could get later.
Yeah, you can pair him with anybody. But
well, also, 2 years ago, Hill. I think 2 years ago, Hill might have been the top non-quarterback in the league.
See, that's the other thing. You can't say Mahomes had a bad year. Hill was hurt last year. At the end, he really tailed off. So if we're just going by last year, he didn't really end the season on a high note.
If you're doing reality, the top 15 on this list should be quarterbacks.
Well, that's just the sport.
Yeah, that's the sport. That's what I'm saying. So regardless, though, but the bigger point is there's so many times where guys vote for their friends, and like player votes have always been somewhat nutty.
I think we also need to keep the main thing here, which is Tyreek Hill believes he could beat Noah Lyles in a race. And listen, if track and field wants to stay relevant in years that are not Olympic years and want us to tune in, I'm not above a gimmick. I'm not above a spectacle. Mm. Let's do it. Noah Lyles is going to win, so you know Tyreek Hill will be the one that gets embarrassed.
I feel like after Usain Bolt won all those golds, they do always do these ESPN specials like, we're going to see Usain Bolt race a horse, and it was never like anything real, right? Like, it never delivered.
Does anybody remember Tyreek Hill actually did race a cheetah at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it wasn't really racing. It was some sort of virtual thing.
It was like a comparison.
Or Michael Phelps is going to race a shark, and that never really
happened. By the way, I watched that Michael Phelps versus the shark
thing
for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, was it good?
No. Well, they kept stalling. I thought it was going to be a real shark, not next to Phelps. I know that would be silly, but I thought maybe the shark would be like in some kind of water chamber.
What's silly about that?
Well, how would
right
you get
next
the
to him? Let's go.
right next to him.
Even in a water chamber, how would you get the shark to know how to? Would you train the shark?
You put a little chum
another
at the
false
end.
Start of the shark.
Like, yeah, like how you get a mouse to go? Like how you get a mouse to go through a maze? You put cheese.
Show him again.
And I put Michael Phelps at the end.
First of all, this sounds a little inhumane to train the shark in this little chamber.
I'm not trying to put laser beams on its head. I mean, just put a little food at the end of it and have the shark race and Michael Phelps race.
That's but then
you have to, first of all, you have to starve the shark. So how do you know he's going straight for the chum?
Mm-hmm. I think they're always eating, right? They're predators. They're apex predators.
Yeah, but they just sort of chill and they come up and eat. Yeah, I understand what a shark is, but
it feels like Maggie doesn't, though.
No, I get it. I just want to be like, this is how you know I've worked in media, television, radio for as long as I have. It's like, but I need to see something bloody.
Well, you want to see Tyreek Hill race Noah Lyles. The point is, all these post-Olympic races are all crap. They never, first of all, they would like, they do a 45-minute build-up, and then you'd actually never see the race or something, because obviously he's going to beat him by a half a second.
I know, but again, it's like, I'll sit around for 40 minutes of pregame.
Oh, you're going to end up disappointed. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to like this.
But it's my money, and it's my time. Do you love how I made this a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
That's why they
if you
the
pay for
it,
no, I would not let you pay for that
event. I flew to Vegas to watch Conor McGregor fight Floyd Mayweather. I'm not above going for a gimmick.
That was way different. That was interesting.
That was not a bad fight.
No, that was very interesting to see McGregor try and fight there.
I meant Bruce Willis.
You guys ever heard of the man bear versus shark? If you filled up a pool halfway with water where a bear can stand but a shark can swim, who would win the fight? That's like a famous debate. Yeah. Who do you got?
Oh, you're asking me that?
Yeah, I always go with the shark, but a lot of people think the bear would win this one. A grizzly bear, like a really strong grizzly bear.
Well, this is new to me, so I'm
never
off the top
heard
of my
head. Shark. There's also a book about it. Like, this is like one of the famous debates.
Do you know there's kids' books like this now?
Bear v. shark?
Yeah, it's just like, who would win? And my kid has one. It's like all random dinosaurs and other prehistoric and current things. Who would win?
Oh, new that's school, awesome, school. By the way. I wish I had that.
Is it a Dilophosaurus or a like, crocodile?
If you put a velociraptor in water against a prehistoric great white, I'm paying $29.99.
I'd probably go with the shark. I think anytime you could pull something down to drown it is probably what I'm going to... Advantage water.
Yeah, but... Okay, whatever. I'm not going to get into it. Because, you know, the grizzlies could come. They could use that gigantic claw and get to the shark's face.
Okay, but what if the shark is the bear's foot? Leg?
Yeah, I mean, I think the shark is a Vegas favorite.
You got to tell me how big the tank is here, because the shark needs a little maneuvering room. The bear is a better close quarters fighter. The shark needs to be able to pick up some speed.
All of a sudden, here comes Lampley. They're fighting in a phone booth.
Exactly. You're fighting in a phone booth. The bear's going to win.
And how deep is the water?
It's waist high.
The bear's upper torso is out of the water.
At worst.
Yeah, you need enough water where the shark can swim and the bear can breathe.
We got another question here.
Keep in mind, Pat, the bear's hunting water.
Yeah, right, I know. But for salmon, not for great whites.
So what? She's a bigger fish.
Billy asks, Big Zoo or Boyle, who would wrestle more ladies at the retirement home? Also a great what if.
By the way, and you say that great whites are apex. You ever seen a killer whale eat a great white?
Yeah.
Now that is, I don't know who's going to challenge that animal. Anyway.
Well, winner of bear shark gets the orca.
then this is why semifinal. We need Tyreek Hill versus Noah Lyles.
It's basically the same
thing. The door is open on way more opportunities like this.
What about an orca and against an elephant?
This is a stupid question, Pete. Do we think...
God.
What are you talking Stampy about? Do you understand the game?
No, I don't.
How's an elephant going to fight the orca?
Yeah, it's tusk. On. In water?
No, go on vacation.
You ever seen like those movies, 300, about the Trojan War, where the bad guys would come in on the giant war elephants? Maybe Pete's onto something.
See? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
How do you think Alexander the Great got over the Alps?
Thank you.
Sharks.
Yeah.
By the way, I know this sounds like we're talking totally random nonsense, but this actually, Noah Lyles versus Tyreek Hill leads naturally to this kind of conversation because it's a ridiculous what if.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous, it's as silly as a bear versus shark because Lyles would run backwards and beat him.
Very easy to set up the race, though. Fly Noah Lyles to Miami for Dolphins training camp.
No, Tyreek Hill has to do it after the season. Yeah. He can't do it now.
Why not?
He can't. Runs all the time.
He should do it now.
He can't run 10 seconds?
If I was the Dolphins, I would say absolutely not. No way. On his own, as soon as the season's over, do your thing.
Because you think he'll tear his hamstring?
Yeah. I don't even want to risk it.
Pat is right, though. It's a lot easier than setting that race up than an orca versus an elephant.
The logistics,
that's a big tank. Yeah, the logistics of a giant elephant versus an orca.
Hey, can me just call the San Diego Zoo?
Yeah, you got SeaWorld, San Diego Zoo.
Do we think Tyreek would actually show up for this race?
Yes.
No. There's no way.
I think he likes
Tyreek's
to say he's
faster.
Tyreek's
a master talker. Yes. A master talker.
Because he knows he would lose, and he doesn't want to lose. So he'll do everything except actually run.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's just like the Phelps versus shark.
Yeah, the shark no-showed.
You pay Tyreek Hill, he'll show up.
I really think it would be close.
No.
Because Tyreek Hill hit his top speed in 2022, 23 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah Lyles was running 27.8 or something miles an hour for his race. So you think about Tyreek Hill with pads and a helmet and carrying the ball. And he was running 23 miles an hour.
Yeah.
No pads, no ball, no helmet.
This is why I want to see it.
Well, Tyreek Hill is 31. I bet you there's, 25 NFL players are faster than him.
All right, Xavier Worthy versus Noah Lyles.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is Hill really the guy anymore? I mean, he's still super fast.
He's the guy to sell it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I've got actual NFL news, guys. Lions sophomore running back Jahmyr Gibbs reportedly hurt his left hamstring at practice last night. No update on him yet today.
Well, did you see this guy, by the way, on Twitter who claims to be an insider? And, like, I went through his Twitter, and it doesn't seem like one of those, like, butt-crack sports things. He says they feared of a torn ACL, and people are, like, roasting him.
Oh, wait, for Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yes.
Ooh.
But I thought it was reported a hamstring injury.
That's what the mainstream report is. It's hamstring.
Wow. I got to tell you, this stinks. Isn't he the most exciting player? I can't think of five guys I'm more interested to see next year.
In the entire league?
Yeah, I mean, Jahmyr, he's definitely the most exciting running back right now. I mean, we've seen all the other guys. I think he's one of the most exciting players. He is such a home run hitter. He's such a rare running back. This stinks.
Well, and also, I mean, I hate to be that person, just like the fantasy implications you might want to think about also, if there's an ACL versus a hamstring, and not to be, callous about it, but it seems like he's, doesn't sound like a season ender.
Honestly, ACL, at least not to draft him. Hamstring, right. That lingers, and it's the worst. So you draft him high, and then you don't know. So honestly, a hamstring is worse. But this is super disappointing, because that team, that's an it team, and he's definitely their it player. So I'm disappointed.
Do you guys know on Reddit they do something called AITA? Am I the... I can't say the last word. Did I just pull one of those with the draft, with the fantasy thing?
I got nothing.
Is it too soon for me to bring up fantasy when you just hear that a guy got hurt?
Oh. Hey, we're on the radio.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, Zoo.
Was I on?
Oh,
to
AI.
Be fair, that's
a fair question.
This is a team effort.
It's like a...
It's a question. No, like, I didn't want to pay for the bridesmaid's dress, and everyone else paid for it. Am I the bleep?
Fantasy football?
Then I brought up fantasy football when we were talking about an actual real person's injury.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just asking.
Wait.
Is there do you have to let it breathe for a couple of minutes before you bring up
You're saying if
fantasy.
There's a question about an NFL player's injury and that would make you a jerk for bringing it up? What?
That's, I'm just asking, is there a statute of limitations on this thing?
That's insanity.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think America is doing right now? They're sitting in there like, well, I don't know if I want to draft this wide receiver because I don't know if he's a nice guy. What are you? Are you kidding me? You're telling me there's millions and millions and millions of dollars going to fantasy football that we don't have the right to immediately ask what's the extent of this leg injury?
That's just the craziest
thing I've ever heard.
All right, I feel better now.
Now you're the A.
Yeah.
Now he's the A.
Are you working sports and you just said, oh, man, am I a jerk for worrying about Jahmyr Gibbs' ACL? Why do you think they're getting $30 million a year to play football? Because we all are betting and playing fantasy football on them.
All right, I won't ask again. I do have the slam dunk way I'm going to win this argument against Perloff about old school broadcasters versus new school, but we have to save it for the next segment. Perloff thinks old school NFL broadcasters are better than new school, and I have the mic drop on the new school. Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff. So we're doing a debate today, old school versus new school NFL broadcasters. And the line of demarcation is you're considered old school if you're no longer broadcasting. So the Summerall and Maddens, the Howard Cosells, you're new school if you are currently broadcasting. So give me the Gus Johnsons and the Ian Eagles and the Jim Nantz.
Where's Al Michaels?
And Al Michaels.
I know he's still at Amazon. Right.
Might be AI, but he's there.
Does AI Al Michaels count?
No, we get it.
That's new school.
Yeah, that's the super new school or post-apocalyptic new school. Anyway, Perloff, you've been arguing for the old school, and part of your reason is why.
They're bigger characters.
And you think, like, looser, right?
Oh, heck yeah. Drunk. That was mostly the scotch.
Okay, and you're saying now the reason why old school is better is because they're looser, less buttoned up. Today, everyone's a little corporate. It's a little bit more down the middle.
Yeah, their ties are tied tightly. Okay. A lot of stats and analytics.
And I'm arguing for the new school. And I'm going to win that argument by playing you this clip from legendary new school broadcaster Kevin Harlan.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
We bow to you, Kevin Harlan. Biggest game, biggest possible stage, as loose as could be.
Even that sounded pretty pretty professional.
Yeah, right. Be a man.
Do you think that's loose? Somebody pull up the Spider Y2 banana play. That was actually quite professional.
It was
Kevin
great.
Harlan's the best, but
he's the man. And that's my evidence and argument that the new school guys are not as buttoned up as you claim.
You don't think that was buttoned up? That was the most professional call of a streaker you've ever heard. You honestly should have heard Summerall and Madden going back and forth. It's like they were watching some other game and just actually they were, I think, both sober. But regardless, I like the again, very professional Kevin Harlan made that sound like it was the fourth quarter, 2 minute drive of streakers. Yeah. That was awesome. But definitely, like, come on, even you, admit it. Old school is better.
Is
Kevin Harlan really the new school broadcaster?
Well, this is our line of demarcation. If you're no longer broadcasting, then you're old school. If you are broadcasting, now you're new school. And Kevin Harlan is all over the place. He does radio. He does TV. He does football. He does basketball.
He's a national treasure. Yeah. I feel like he's kind of old school. Kevin Harlan.
He's the best. 855-212-4227. You could weigh in here. Are you with Perloff on the old school or me with the new school? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who is like the ultimate new school broadcaster? I mean, is it as simple as Noah Eagle because he's 23 years old?
he's super
and
young.
And he was awesome during the Olympics. I really enjoyed him.
He did a great job. But I think it's the Gus Johnsons and the Ian Eagles, guys who, Gus because of I mean, Gus, you could put in any era. I think he would be great in any era, but he's in the new school now, so I'll take him now. And then I think Ian Eagle is one of the funniest broadcasters. He, as a play-by-play guy, he's doing the funny bits as opposed to, and his color guy is actually the straight man. And Charles Davis does a phenomenal job. And Dan Fouts did a great job before him, but Ian's the comedy guy, and they're the straight guys as the analysts, which is funny. EJ, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think the way to describe the quintessential new school announcer is somebody who was in their prime now. Like, I think you can totally include a Jim Nance or include some of the older guys who are still broadcasting and say they're new school, but we know they've been in their prime for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think, as Maggie said, like, Ian Eagle right now is at the top of his game. Like, Gus Johnson at the top of their game.
Kevin Harlan.
Not just Kevin Harlan. Not just their skill, but also, like, they're now doing the biggest game. Like, Gus Johnson, he was doing the D football game in, like, 2001, but, like, I wouldn't say that that's prime Gus Johnson. Like, Maserati Marv is prime Gus Johnson, because that's who we think of him today at the top of his game.
I think, actually, Gus on the NCAA tournament was, to me, that's the prime, but we're doing NFL today.
I would say, to me, the new school would be Kevin Burkhardt and Joe Davis, and, like, the, those like, really very professional. They're also quite funny. Like, they're great at what they do, but there just feels like there's a polish that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
I feel like when I think of old
school, Tirico never flubs, ever.
Yeah, but Tirico, I mean, Tirico's been around a long time, too. I don't consider him new school. I feel like there's this new era of broadcasters coming up, but I do think Noah Eagle's part of that, too. And they're very sharp, and I think they're just slightly more buttoned up. And I think you brought up a good point. Like, there's so much information to sift through. Like, you can't not... You can't not have the analytics in front of you because that person at home is on his phone with all the analytics. So you really got to do it a little differently these days. New school is just like very, very professional. Back in the old school, the wild, wild west.
855-212-4227. So you are welcome to weigh in. I suddenly, like, my stomach has dropped because Pat just got in my ear and said, what did you say to me?
We have Bills breaking news.
And I feel like what you're about to say is not going to be good.
Wait, is it an injury, Pat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I don't think it's the injury. It can't be the big guy.
Don't tell me.
The Bills have put a quarterback on IR.
No, just the way you said that, it's definitely not.
And it's Shane Buechele, or however you say his name.
Oh, yeah. But that came out yesterday, didn't it? Did they sign Ben DiNucci?
They did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Ben DiNucci is, you are a Buffalo Bill.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
I wanna kill you guys. I want to, I feel physically sick just for that 30 seconds that I thought even for a moment that Josh Allen had a hangnail. How dare you guys play around with me like that? Pat got in my ear and goes, you got some breaking news here. You got some breaking Bills news.
Breaking news just happened yesterday.
I know.
Well, Schefter just tweeted it out. So
it just happened.
I take his tweets for gospel as if they're happening in live time.
Ben DiNucci, by the way, I hope he makes a team. He's the greatest backup. He's the funniest, coolest backup quarterback there ever is.
Do you realize if Ben DiNucci has to take a snap, the season's over?
Oh, don't. Ben DiNucci is definitely the second best purely Italian backup in the
I'd rather have Tommy Cutlets by a million.
But this is so you, Perloff. By the way, you're like, yo, you didn't know Ben DiNucci got signed to the Bills yesterday?
He's Mr. Third-string quarterback.
Knows every third-string quarterback in the NFL.
By the way, do you know that Shane Buechele was in the same quarterback room with Cam Rising in Utah? That is the greatest fact ever. Shane Buechele is in his fifth NFL year, and they were both freshmen at Texas together.
That's because back in 2018. Cam Rising is 40.
Anyway, yeah, if you're going to open that backup quarterback conversation, Pat, then we're going to be here all morning long.
I might have to. I'm glad we're going to break, because I got to take a couple deep breaths into a paper bag because you guys just scared me so much.
Maggie, they would not treat a Josh Allen injury like that.
Yes, they would.
They would not.
they definitely would, not. Would.
They would have hushed tones. You'd see them meeting secretly.
No.